Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org and like us on Facebook.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics, and we are at the Gateway Film Center. And you recently brought to my attention, John, an article in the LA Times, was it?
Correct.
About animation, and are we hitting the ceiling here with what's going on? What was the gist?
The gist of it is there are a couple of sides of the argument. One is that with 11 in wide release this year, that is all those over 500 theaters, 11, it's going up to 13 next year. So it seems to be going up, when yet some would say that there's nothing more to do. We're just saturating it, and you have Turbo and you have losses.
Right, and you're talking about major big tent pole, computer-generated animation movies. I think I read in that same article that a decade ago, only 6 animated movies came out in 1 year. So, I can see that. I think we can clearly say that there's been a lot of great animated movies, especially out of the Pixar camp, and DreamWorks. And
$750 million this year for Despicable Me 2.
And I got to tell you, I enjoyed the sequel more than the first movie. That's, I thought this was really deft and nicely done. I don't know. You know, I this movie comes up over and over and over again in our conversations, but The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is not on that list, is a favorite of mine in recent years, and an example of how to do something that's animated and not pandering to family audiences. It's a tough little movie to crack, and it's incredibly enjoyable once you do, and once you let it work on its own terms.
And I've always liked the Toy Story story. The Toy Story films have always been good. The earlier ones a little bit better for me, but But I think that they were, again, ingenious because they were putting character and wit in there. It wasn't just a visual experience.
And that movie, the Toy Story movies, have always been about the pull between the past and the future.
Yes.
I mean, it's reflected right there in the characters. Woody represents the way things used to be, and Buzz represents the things yet to come. And there's a central tension that's reflected. It's very smart. I don't think the other Pixar films compare at all. I mean, I think the next best Pixar movie would be Up.
Oh, good one.
In terms of it being original and sort of playing with its themes.
WALL-E, is that a Pixar?
Yes, it is a Pixar. And I think WALL-E's slightly overrated. Maybe I need to see that again, but I remember all that hullabaloo about it, and oh my God, how brave it was that they opened a movie that had no dialogue for the first half an hour. And you know what? Ultimately, who cares?
It's a very cute movie.
Yeah.
With a little bit of an overlay of sentimentality.
Yeah.
But it's worth watching. It's good.
It certainly wasn't the 2001 A Space Odyssey of animated films.
No, it was good. So we've clocked off some really interesting animations, and we can look ahead to some others.
Well, I think what this article is getting at is, if you think about the crop of animated releases this year that just tanked.
Yeah.
Turbo, the snail movie with Ryan Reynolds voicing the snail. That's, first of all, Ryan Reynolds should be working at a Walmart by now. as many movies as that guy has submarined. And Monsters University, which I thought was going to fare poorly, but it was
it did
a big
very
hit.
Very well,
And then there were a couple of other underperformers. Rise of the Guardians that came out around the holiday season.
The Croods?
The Croods. Also, I think, I don't know if that's considered a hit or not, but I'm pretty sure it underperformed. And nobody certainly, I guarantee you half of the people listening to this show, all 6 of them, probably don't even know what that movie is.
So what do you think of the future? Is it really a good thing? Because there's a school of thought that says, look, like movies themselves, there are always bad movies.
Well, here's the future, it looks like to me. I'm surprised when I was reading that article at how cheaply they can produce these movies.
Yes.
Now, by cheaply Hollywood standards, I'm talking about
under 100.
Yeah, well, some of them in the $50 to $75 million range. Yeah. Now, as we were talking a few weeks ago to Chris Hamill, that sort of mid-sized budget is all too rare these days.
Yep.
So if that's what's taking it up, animated films, then great. I think that's great. a year ago, I think it was, Paranorman came out. That was an interesting little movie. I couldn't tell really if it's supposed to look like stop motion animation, kind of like in the vein of Fantastic Mr. Fox, but it might have been CGI. But anyway, it was a mid-budget movie. It was very clever. It was bold. It was original. It's not on that list, by the way, but because this is a year ago.
Yeah.
Well, but I think the future is in those types of movies.
Sure.
If animation is going to thrive, you have to be original, and audiences have to catch up. They got to go see these Mr. Fox movies, the Paranormans.
And the originality comes in plot, characterization, all the standard elements of good drama can apply there. Take it to pick up an example of what you're talking about this year, Planes.
Yeah,
which cost only $50 million to make. Hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Only 50.
Yeah.
And they'll make it back and more. So it's a loser in some respects, but it's going to eventually be a winner because it was so cheap, relatively, to produce.
Right.
And that's exactly the point. If you keep it down low, keep it kind of interesting, and then if you hit it really big like the Despicables, you're in clover.
That seems to be, yeah, you're right. I think that seems to be the key, is stay mid-range.
Yes.
Don't overspend.
Yes.
And don't overspend on the marketing, because families will find these movies. They're looking for them.
Oh, yeah.
Every week. And be original, you know? That formula seems to work. I mean, it's hard to tell. I think, well, let me scratch that. 3, 2, when you look back at the movie, what? Scratch that. It's okay. 3, 2. Although I think that formula did not work out well for Paranorman.
Okay.
I think that movie was kind of lost.
Yes,
got lost in a sea of fall releases.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to see more of those movies, more of the Fantastic Mr. Fox type of film.
You know, that one, you mentioned that, and I'd have to say is one of my absolute favorites of all time, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
It had so much interesting characterization, so much subtlety, so much low-key sense of humor.
Right.
Just a different kind of plot. The originality you're talking about is all over that.
And great voice work.
Oh, George
Everybody
Clooney.
In there is so great.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, another one that, again, comes up every time we talk about animation. Probably the two best animated films I've seen are Fantastic Mr. Fox and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh, and they have number two coming up,
and
right?
And that looks terrible.
Oh, no.
I think it looks terrible.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't look... What surprised me about the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was how bold it was and how engaged it was with these fears, or the American fears of, you know, obsession with food and overeating.
Yeah.
And diet and genetically engineered food. I mean, it's screaming all these, you know, ills at us. And
it just shows that originality is possible.
Yeah.
And when it happens, everybody's happy and surprised and in awe. And it reminds me again that there are still new things out there.
Yeah.
And that animation is going to be able to do it if anybody can do it.
Well, you know, I think the saturation, too, when we talk about computer animation, is how it's creeping into almost every aspect of our other movies. And that's kind of disturbing to me. Like, for an example, the fourth Die Hard movie. And I didn't see the fifth Die Hard movie. But, you know, the original Die Hard movies were action movies about a guy running around. He's in a certain physical situation, and he is working hard to solve the problem. You know, you see his body moving through space and time in a way that you can relate how that might affect you.
Yeah.
Now, the fourth Die Hard movie came out, and all of a sudden he's flying through trucks, helicopters, or cars are flying into helicopters, and he's, you know, doing a Fred Astaire jig on top of a Harrier jet. I mean, it gets so ridiculous. You know, the CGI, the animation, the cartoonish animation that we expect from our family films is encroaching upon our action movies to the point where, how many times, John, can you see the world be destroyed? How many times can you see a city rendered utterly destructed? I mean, it loses its magic, man.
And I think that was one of the problems with The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
That whole last sequence was so brilliant, but it was so overdone.
Right.
And it really took away from the great characters we wanted to see more of.
Yeah.
For animation, then, let me say that we had talked last time about the influence of the Chinese on filmmaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made a flat-out statement that they want to watch only 3D. And that might be slightly hyperbole, but it's pretty true that the Chinese are in love with our 3D, which means that we're still going to have more 3D animation.
Yeah.
And where it happened really well for me when they made Polar Express into 3D, it doesn't always happen that way.
So well, that, you liked that?
I did. I liked it. I did not like it initially, but I liked it when it came back in 3D.
Oh, when it came, when they re-released
it in 3D. Yeah, when they re-released it in 3D.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think like movies themselves, animations are going through, are evolving, they're saturating. We got maybe too many weak ones, but there are a few good ones that will surface.
I would just like to see them scale it back. And I'm not talking about the cartoons. The cartoons, we solved that problem. Spend less money, yes. Be more original.
Yes.
But I would like to see that animation kind of be rendered a little more delicately when it comes to our other films, our other spectacular films, you know, the action movies, the sci-fi movies. I don't think that, I think they're doing these films a disservice by divorcing us from the, you know, we don't walk down the street and see cities destroyed every 5 minutes, but that's what's happening in the movies.
Yes.
And look at White House Down. I mean, they can render so much, you know, photorealistic destruction so quickly that we become numb to it. It loses its fun. And
where else but in animation can you do the most exotic things,
right,
visually? But after a while, we just become saturated ourselves,
yeah.
And we look for great story, great characters. And to me, Toy Story did that.
Yeah.
And it holds the promise in the future that we're going to get more of that.